Many parents spend the majority of their day at work, and their kids are often unclear about what they do for a living. With research suggesting that a growing number of students will have more than one career over their lifetime, connecting with parents and other relatives about their jobs can be extremely valuable. How can today's youth learn what they need to know about possible careers? Find out this week on Family Anatomy.
Hosts of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologist.
So if you need to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you could get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Welcome to Family Anatomy, your source for parenting and relationship information, with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spezzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald. You can find us at familyanatomy.com or over on iTunes, and let's get right into talking about careers today. Well, not just careers, really. It's about what kids know about their parents' jobs.
It's more about the relationship between, well, adults, usually parents, but it could be other adults.
Sure.
And kids, and what kids know about adults do, and how that relationship affects kids' career choices as they're growing up.
It's funny for us to be talking about this because, well, for a few reasons. Psychologists are in a weird position when it comes to talking about their jobs. You know, same with medical doctors. Most of what we do all day involves private information.
That's
it's not things that we can share.
It's like we're top secret spies.
Well, maybe
much.
Not quite like that, but I mean, we are not.
Well, everything's confidential.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same.
We're not able to talk about what we do very often, unless it's like,
well, it can be very generic,
or something.
Of course, and you're not talking about anyone in particular. You could say we do testing. We counsel people. I mean, my kids know that.
In general,
people, and I do testing
in
and
general.
I work.
But I have to say, lots of little kids that I talk to about my job, I mean, their first reaction is, does that mean you're psychic, psychologist, psychic? I talk to people about what they're thinking about and how they're feeling and stuff like that. And people are are you reading my mind?
Yeah, no,
you know,
I don't get that.
I
only practice on planet Earth, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's my issue.
That's your issue. You know,
psychologists and psychics sounds the same. The beginning of those words
sound
the same.
Yes,
so little ones get a little bit mixed up sometimes.
But maybe it's your antennae that makes them think that you're...
It could be that.
You know, you have that ability.
The greenish tint to my skin.
And the one eye.
Yes. All of those things might be factors playing into that.
Yeah.
I've brought my kids to work on occasion, but usually it's on days when I'm not doing very much except for administrative kinds of stuff. So it doesn't seem like a very interesting job. They can't come and see us in meetings or anything like that.
That's right. There's the odd day when they've come and they've watched me do some, you know, statistical paperwork or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or
my son has come. There was one occasion where he came when I was teaching. So it wasn't about any particular person. It was just kind of presenting general information. So it was me doing a presentation and talking with my students, PhD students in psychology. So he thought that was pretty neat, but that's the extent of what he knows sort of firsthand about what a psychologist does.
Right. I think my kids know because I tell them that, you know, I help kids and I help adults who have some difficulties in their life and I give them advice. That's how I talk to them about it. But of course, when they come to see me at the office, the few times they have, they're probably thinking to themselves, well, there's just no people he's helping here. So what's happening?
What does this guy do all day?
You know, what ends up happening is they meet my colleagues and they all think they're cute and they end up spending time with my colleagues and I end up doing some other work.
You actually get something done.
That's right.
Good for you. That's right. Good for you.
So they don't necessarily learn too much there except for where I work and what mm-hmm. it looks like and who the people I work with are and that kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, like I said at the beginning, we spend so much time at our jobs. I mean, and the fact is our kids don't stay up very late, right? They're still young kids. We spend more time at work than we do with our kids probably for a large part of the year. And they, even though we try to explain it to them, they don't really have good firsthand knowledge of what it is that you and I do. And I think that's probably true for lots of kids and families.
I get my kids to watch In Treatment on HBO. No, I don't.
Wow.
But it, that would be...
look, it's tough to find a show with a good example of a psychologist, right? They're all having affairs with their patients.
I know, it's terrible.
You know, it's supposed to be funny. Fraser mm-hmm. Crane didn't quite cut it.
No. But anyways, when I was a kid in high school, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and they did set me up. The guidance department set me up with a newspaper reporter. He was actually a photographer.
Okay.
And
that's right, because you were thinking about photography.
I was
on.
Yeah. And so I shadowed him for the day. Mm-hmm. And it was always stayed with me, like just that experience. I remember it real clear. It was just the one time, and wow. It was kind of exciting, you know, to be out with a newspaper man. Mm-hmm. So I think kids are wanting to know what's happening.
They're interested,
they're curious.
In that. And I know, you know, I grew up and went to school in a small town, so there weren't as many opportunities for job shadowing and things like that, and people generally didn't bring their kids to work. I know Dad used to talk to me about the things that he was doing at work. He was like a manager, so he was often dealing with people and having to work through problems with labor and sort out conflicts and stuff like that. But if I had to explain to someone what my father did when I was a kid, it still probably would have been hard to do, I think.
See, I have an advantage there. So my parents were immigrants, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you know how I knew what they were doing?
Tell me.
I did the same job. I did the exact same job as a teenager.
Maybe we should do that with our kids. Maybe we should bring them and they could do some treatment.
That's right. Do the hard cases.
Yeah. That's right.
only the hard cases.
Oh, you can work with people who are having a really tough time.
Yeah, but so...
But I'll tell you what, you know, our kids would put a smile on people's faces, right?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Someone who's sad could come and see us and we could say, well, just play with this kid for a little while.
There's your treatment
There's your treatment.
Yes.
That's true.
Depending on the day, of course.
Yeah. Sometimes it might make them matter.
I went and worked at my father's job site. Mm-hmm. I was a laborer. And I went and worked at my mother's job site. So I saw exactly what they did, and I did what they did.
Wow.
So I knew exactly. Now, that wasn't my career direction, mm-hmm. and they didn't want it to be my career direction. So that's a little bit different, too.
Was it a motivator for you, do you think? Because they didn't want you to do that, the difficult things that they were working
yes,
on?
Yes. Well, it was a motivator because they explicitly said, like, my father said, it's time for you to get out of here. Uh-huh. You know, it's time for you. This is not where I want to see you, and it's time for you to go.
Would you have stuck around without
no,
that kind
I
of
wouldn't,
pressure?
I wouldn't have stuck around anyway, but a little reminder didn't hurt either.
Doesn't hurt at all.
You know, because, you know, I've seen people where that's happened, where they go to work. This wasn't a family business, but I know of people that have gone to work in their family business, and it wasn't really the place they wanted to settle in mm-hmm. For the long term. Mm-hmm. And yet, because it was so comfortable,
maybe there's some family pressures too.
Yeah, it was comfortable, but there was also other pressures, and mm-hmm. it wasn't always comfortable, but
right.
comfortable enough, let's say, that their motivation to move on to what they really wanted to do had been sapped, mm-hmm. and they stayed there. But
that's true for so many jobs, right? You might be thinking about changing careers or even just changing job sites. You know, I might like to do the same thing in a different company. And you're comfortable enough that you just don't have that motivation to move on to that next thing where you might be happier. I mean, that's got to be even more complicated in a family-owned business.
You know, the phrase that sticks out for me is transitional stress. It's a good phrase.
Oh, that's a good one.
Eh? Transitional stress. Because yes. We always talk about transitions.
Yeah,
at least we do, right? Uh-huh. We talk about transitions. But really, the phrase should be transitional stress, because it tells you right in the phrase that's what transitions are about. Mm-hmm. Now, the stress can be, but you could be excited about the thing that you're going to be going to.
It's a possibility.
Still has stress incorporated into it, though. Uh-huh. Which means you have to acknowledge that, you have to deal with it. Some people acknowledge it so much they're petrified of any change,
right?
Or some people acknowledge it and also try and move through that in a way that I think is less stressful, because mm-hmm. they get the proper support. I think going through that, and I mean, we're talking about. Changes in careers now.
Right. We're off topic now. But to bring it back to the relationships, I mean, you had a somewhat unique situation, but you were, I would say, lucky enough to have opportunities to do some work with your parents and see and experience what they were going through. And the fact is that we've talked before about relationships and how important proximity is in the maintenance of relationships. That's if your kids don't know what you do or aren't or they're apart from you for a big part of the day, that can have an impact on the relationship, I think.
I think it can. And, you know...
And it's not necessarily a major negative impact, but what I really mean is that the opposite can have a positive impact. If you're able to spend more time, if you're able to help them to understand how you spend your days, if you're able to bring them to work sometimes so they can meet your coworkers and see what you do, and, you know, appreciate that you're respected in the job that you have. Those are all excellent positive things for your children to experience as part of your relationship with them.
I think it's something that relationship helps them engage through that transitional stress. And I have a study that actually demonstrates that.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Are we going to bring research
in
today?
We're going to do that.
Wow, that's excellent.
Journal of Vocational Behavior, University of Provence and University of Toulouse. This is in France.
En français.
Yes, French study.
Yes, and that's the Journal of Vocational Behavior. That's the journal where almost all the career research is to be found.
That's right. And so there was 5 different researchers. I'm not going to name them all off. But they looked at 283 French high school kids who were on the verge of going on to post-secondary education.
And they were looking at how they explored career options, right? Career exploration.
That's right. And so what they did is they examined 3 different factors to see what the effect of those factors would have on career exploration activities.
Okay. Right?
So the 3 factors were, 1, the parent-adolescent attachment.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about that somewhere. Where have I heard about attachment before?
The second thing was adolescent anxiety.
Right.
Okay, and they looked at general anxiety, but then they also more specifically looked at...
Fear of failure, I think, right?
Right, fear of failing in the career and fear of disappointing their parents.
Ooh.
Those 2 in particular, I think, is what they focused on. And they also looked at parenting style.
Okay.
So those 3 things, what kind of effect do those 3 things, if any, have on career exploration and mm-hmm. how motivated and what kids do to explore their career options,
well,
right?
Well, my guess would be that someone who is anxious would have some trouble exploring career options.
Right. So should we just stop
there? I'm setting you up. It was different for boys and girls.
It was different for boys and girls, and it's so specific. Eh?
Yeah.
So let's get the parenting styles out of the way first. They found that the laissez-faire type parents, the parents are more hands-off and not as involved with their kids, the girls did less career exploration. The girls in particular did less career exploration.
Right.
With regards to... fears, the fear of failing in a career was something that motivated girls, but not boys. The reason that they talked about there potentially is that girls have this fear of incompetence as opposed to when it comes to, you know, being good at what they're going to do in their career.
Right.
But with boys, the fear was of
disappointing
parents.
Their parents, right.
You know, so... It was more this pressure to succeed in their career for the boys
in terms of exploration of different options.
That's right. So, and then the third one was the attachment piece.
Mm-hmm.
And now the attachment from this study, it seems that the securely attached girls were more likely to explore their career options.
Right.
Not the case for boys. Now, you know, they're trying to figure out different ways to explain that.
Because you would expect it to be the same for both.
That's right. Now, one of the things is that there's a lot fewer boys in the study than girls.
Okay.
And I think just boys are less conscious of, it might be still operating with boys, but they're less conscious of that.
That could be, or maybe that's less. They're less likely to report that kind of stuff.
That's right, and that, I mean, what they highlight is that the interpersonal relations and identity formation for girls is such an important thing.
So, and we know, and we've talked about it before on the show, like way back in the early hundreds episode. I don't remember what number it was.
1900s, you mean?
Yes, the early 1900s. No, it was an episode that was in the low hundreds on careers, and the fact is that parental involvement is something that's important in terms of, you know, the choices that kids make when they're going off to post-secondary. I think way back when we talked about those science, technology, engineering, math, and one other thing that I can't remember, STEM careers, mechanical,
right?
Maybe, mm-hmm. Where parents who were encouraging their children to go on to college or university after graduating from high school, you know, about 41% of those kids did choose a career in those more scientific, technical kinds of fields, whereas it was only 2% of kids whose parents didn't encourage that that exploration, I guess, of post-secondary education who went on to careers in those fields.
You know, another interesting thing, we're going to be talking to Dr. Shapiro.
Dr. Ronald Shapiro.
Yes, he received a PhD from Ohio State University. He's a fellow and the Human Factors and Ergonomics Society.
Maybe we should pause for a second and talk about what Human Factors is, because people might not know. I took some courses in Human Factors way back in the day. It's about the study of ergonomics and, I mean, they say if you look up the definition of it, interfaces, human-machine interfaces, studying human error and things like that. And you know a guy who was working in that field.
A friend of mine, a psychologist friend of mine, that's what he does whenever there's a plane incident or a train incident. Plane, trains, not automobiles.
No, no. Planes or trains.
But any, either a crash or a near crash.
Right. He's looking at whether human factors,
that's right,
played a role.
He dispatched out to examine, did human error, mm-hmm. human factors, contribute to this in any way, and that's something for the future to help prevent further incidents.
Exactly.
So he's also he's a fellow with the American Psychological Association. That's Dr. Ronald Shapiro, not
your friend,
not my friend. And he's currently an independent consultant in human factors and ergonomics, human resources, education, learning, and career development. And one of the things, we'll be talking to him soon, but one of the things that I thought was interesting is he's promoting the Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day in the United States.
Right, right.
And I looked it up a little bit. It was interesting, you know, mm-hmm. Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Foundation is what's behind that. It's not just a job shadowing thing, you know, which we've experienced, like, yeah. Mike, you know, I've done that and kids can do that,
mm-hmm.
But it's a more comprehensive way of dealing with this issue. They get employers directly involved. It's not like someone just, you know what I mean?
Just goes with their kids.
Just goes.
There are activities and things like that that are organized.
Yeah, they get them involved. The schools are involved. The employers are involved. The parents are involved. And it goes beyond just job shadowing in terms of the benefit that mm-hmm. you get there. The kids get to see the value of their parents' education, for instance.
Absolutely. That's important.
Yeah. They get to see how parents are having to balance their work and family life, right? There's an opportunity for you to also talk about, because it's focused on that. It's not them just watching you. It's mm-hmm. you're actually talking about careers and stuff like that. And what do you think about what I do? What have you been thinking? And there's an opportunity there.
And that's why I think it's so great that they've got it organized in a way where employers are involved, and there are certain kinds of things that are happening on that particular day.
Yeah, I mean, there's significant money behind this effort. It's not, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And also it encourages, I think, employers to see that behind this employee, there is a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what
I mean?
So the benefits can go both ways.
Both ways. So yeah. The employer sees, yeah, they do have to balance work and family because, oh, look, there's part of their family.
Right,
just came in the door.
Yeah.
So I think that's good for all over. There's all these larger things that are being addressed there. And really, it seems like unless this is done or unless we're conscious of it, there's these really fine lines of communication that are like barely there around this, and this kind of strengthens it and puts a focus on the larger context and what we're trying to achieve here, which is them really through, and this is what we were saying before with that study,
right?
Through your relationship with your child,
uh-huh.
You're able to help them through that transitional stress.
Exactly.
Right? That right. happens when you're like, oh my God, school's almost over. What am I going to do in my career?
Right.
Your relationship helps them get through that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and at the same time, there's the more direct impact of learning about different career environments and different jobs. In Canada, they have a similar program called Take Our Kids to Work Day, and it's the Learning Partnership that does that one. And it's the first Wednesday in November every year. Last year, 75,000 employers participated across Canada in that program, and it's similar to the one in the U.S. Where they're more focused on exposing kids to the different job environments, and it's not just parents bringing their own kids. They talk about, you know, you could go with an adult friend to work, or you could go with another relative to work.
That's right. It's the same with the U.S. program. Yeah. They talk about mentors. It could be your uncle. It could be a neighbor that you're really close with.
Which I think is great. You know, and you're really linking the systems that the kids are operating in, you know, between the system at home, the family system. You're often connecting with their school as part of these activities. And then they get to interact with the community that you're a part of at your job.
They should have a bring your parent to school day.
Mm.
What about that?
Wow. Hey? We should start. Trademark
that.
Family Anatomy.
As soon as we're done this podcast.
Oh, let's get on the phone right away. In fact, let's get on the phone right away. Let's get Dr. Shapiro on the line.
Let's do it. And now I'd like to welcome Dr. Ronald Shapiro to the show.
So tell us a little bit about, because it's sort of a structured activity that you came up with. Tell us a little bit about what this thing was like.
Okay, be happy to. We started this program about a couple of decades ago at an IBM headquarters location when we were doing a Bring Your Child to Work Day program. And what we wanted was something that was entertaining and fun for the kids, but educational as well. We decided to do a program that was modeled after the old What's My Line. We called it What's My Job at the time, and what it involved is bringing in a panelist, an IBM employee typically, and students were seated in the auditorium, and this person would come up on stage, and the students could ask a variety of questions of the guest, and then their job was to try and guess what the guest did for his or her career. We had a lot of people doing interesting things, ranging from software engineers to airplane pilots that were on the panel. For our final activity, we did something very much like the mystery guest on the old What's My Line program, in which we brought in a panel of four students to the front of the room blindfolded, and one of the kids' parents came in as our guest. And what the kids had to figure out is whose parent it was, based on asking yes or no questions about what they did at work. Not what their office looked like or what color were the walls or whether they had stuffed animals in the office, but what they actually did at work. They were not allowed to ask questions like, is your friend Joe or is your friend Sue? But they had to, again, concentrate on the job and the accomplishments from the parent. Performance was pretty bad, actually. It was at chance level for a multiple choice test. And we repeated this with another program. We had somebody come very, very close at that point, someone that actually knew what their parent was doing. However, wouldn't you know it, they were so precise that they manage to answer incorrectly. They ask the parent, do you use Microsoft version XYZ at work? And the parent had to say, no. The parent used to use it, but they had upgraded in the past week and forgot to tell their daughter. Well, that was one case. Another case where a student did very well was a very, very smart young lady who knew that her father hated cell phones and would never be caught touching a cell phone. She also knew that most IBMers used cell phones all the time. Mm. And so she just asked every single panelist, how often do you use your cell phone at work? And, of course, the parents said yes, 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 no. And so she managed to figure out by that artifact that who her father was. But typically, performance was not very good. As I move out to the community and do programs like these with youth groups, what I find is that performance is somewhat better sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. And one of the reasons for that, I think, is that the parents at these events are judges as to which questions are actually work-related and which are more related to what the office looks like and stuff. And I think the parents are more lenient in the community youth groups than IBM executives were in judging what questions were permissible and non-permissible. So we've done this several times. We also have a new variation in which we bring in four parents and have four kids, and the kids are supposed to match up with their parent, identify their parent. And what we find typically is that the kids, again, do not do a very good job. And sometimes you end up with one parent with four kids and three parents with none.
Oh, man.
Sometimes you end up with just a random assortment of kids and parents.
So, Dr. Shapiro, you know, what you're basically saying is kids, by and large, don't know what their parents do for a living. But I guess the question is, what's the ramifications of that?
You are absolutely right that that's what I'm saying. What are the ramifications? Number one, the students don't really appreciate what a tough day at work is for parents. Mm-hmm. Not the most important thing, but still, it's the first one that comes to mind. So, you know, parents come in, you know, it's been a rough day. Well, my parents don't do anything at work anyway, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's one problem. The second problem is that when it comes time for students to think about their own careers and so forth, they don't have the advantages of the role model that they very easily could have. And thirdly, they just don't acquire factual information that they could. For example, at one time, I had a vice president of sales daughter ask me all about sales careers. Now, let me tell you that I'm a technical person, and I have never sold anything other than my own services, other than nuts when I was a Boy Scout or Cub Scout. So
she, instead of going to the source, she came to you.
That's right.
That's exactly right. And so those are three things.
I have to say, it's activities like this that really should be a wake-up call. I mean, this is an area that they really need to communicate with their kids about. It can be really important as they get older and they're on their way to graduating from high school.
That's the purpose of the activity. Exactly. And one of the things that we do here is that students and parents do talk more after they participated in this activity. Indeed, I understand that rides home from the activity have been quite interesting, and some parents have reported back, wow, we had a discussion like we've never had before.
Oh, that's great.
This was great. So that's one of the goals of the activity, is what will happen afterwards. Now, we don't get feedback from everybody, of course, because the program's over, people go home, and they're busy with other things. But from the people that we do get feedback from, we really hear that they are improving their communication.
And so there's also another activity that I was reading about where there's mothers and daughters, and mothers are asked to give a one-word answer to three questions that they're asked about. Tell us about this.
Great. I'll be happy to. What we do is we had a youth group, again, of girls and mothers together for a program. So what we did is we handed each of the mothers a small whiteboard, 8.5 by 11, and a marker, and we blindfolded all the daughters. The mothers were asked three questions. Question number one, how would your daughter say in one word you would describe her? Question number two, how would your daughter like you to describe her in one word? And question number three, how would your daughter describe you in one word? The parents wrote on the board the answers to the three questions and handed the board to their daughters, who were blindfolded, so they had no idea what the sign said. We then took a picture of the mother and the daughter and the sign, and then we went around and we asked the daughters what the sign said, repeating the questions for them, of course. And performance, again, was absolutely terrible in many cases.
So, yeah, but prior to this activity, you were focusing on how there's not very much communication between parents and their kids around their career, but this is talking about general communication now.
That's correct. In some cases, they both, mothers and daughters, agreed, yeah, we could have said that. And I don't think there was any case where the mothers and daughters said, you know, that just isn't right at all. Nonetheless, they didn't know the answer to the precise question. Now, sometimes we did get synonyms, and I think the way we scored it is there were something like 2 points for getting it right and 1 point for a synonym, but not very many people got above zero. And if they did, they generally did well on, say, one question out of the three.
Well, I think those questions are really not just for mothers and daughters, but for fathers and sons as well. I mean, those are great ways to begin a dialogue.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you, and that's why we do the activity. Of course, you don't need to do it in the stage environment. You could simply do it with people sitting down at a table and each having a pencil and piece of paper, and just writing down the answers to the three questions and then trading pieces of paper and so forth. But nonetheless, I had a stage program to do. I think you would get essentially the same result either way.
Okay. So, Dr. Shapiro, do you have some other upcoming kinds of activities? Are you still working on these kinds of communication activities between parents and kids?
Yes, I do a lot of work on that. As a matter of fact, I work with people from grade 5 up through professionals on communications of this sort, as well as general types of communication and observation ability and learning to be better observers, teachers, communicators, learners, etc., with a whole variety of education by entertainment programs.
Dr. Shapiro, it's been really interesting talking to you, and I'm glad we had a chance, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
How can our listeners track down more information about these programs?
I'd be more than happy to talk with them if they want to send me an email at drronshapiro1981@sigmasigmaxi.net, or I'd be willing to take a phone call if people aren't comfortable using email at my phone number, 401-272-4664, or people may do a search for education by entertainment in quotes on the web or my name on the web using, let's say, Google, and they'll be connected up with my website.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
You know, parents are probably thinking to themselves, oh, these are all great suggestions, but how do we get started? Like, what's mm-hmm. a nice, easy way to get this started with my kid?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like we said, there are those programs both in the United States and Canada about taking your kids to work. And Dr. Shapiro has even the slides, the overheads that he uses and some of the materials that he used for those kinds of activities. But as he said at the end, you don't need to be on stage in front of an audience to do these kinds of things. You can write down the answers to those kinds of questions and see if your kids can figure those out. I mean, to me, it's kind of an interesting way to spend a family game night or something like that. And your kids are actually learning, well, you're learning something about each other.
That's right. And those three questions that he said were helpful conversation starters, I think would be great to try. The general thing, though, you see the last part of our conversation with them was parents and kids need to communicate more generally, and this is mm-hmm. one of the areas that is really important for if you want. I mean, we always talk about kids being safe and successful, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what parents want, those mm-hmm. two things. Well, this is the successful side of it in particular. Having that good communication relationship with them helps them through that transitional stress and gets them to the other side in one piece.
Right, exactly. With some of those added benefits that they've got a role model about working hard, they've got an understanding of what how important education is for the work that you do after you graduate, all of those career-specific things related to those sorts of bringing your kids to work and those other activities that Dr. Shapiro talked about.
That's right. So that's it for us. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Shapiro. And you can find us at familyanatomy.com or email us at info@familyanatomy.com.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. If you're listening on your iPhone or iPod, you can find us on the podcast app. And as usual, we'll leave you with a bit of a tune by Brother Love. And he's over at brotherloverocks.com.
Thanks for listening.
See you in 2 weeks.
It's a family thing. Hey! You know what to do.
FamilyAnatomy.com.